what kind of person was he? There are passages in the Suttas that say, well, he was incredibly compassionate, he was incredibly mindful, and so on. It doesn't really tell us very much. We learn more when we observe the Buddha talking to people, or responding to them, or in a certain situation, a difficult situation. He was in some very difficult situations. We learn from what he liked and what he didn't like. And the Buddha certainly had things he didn't like. In this way, a quite distinctive personality emerges. So let me try to evoke it. Let's start with an episode that goes right back to the period just after the Buddha's enlightenment. This is a very well-known episode in the Buddhist tradition. So the Buddha was enlightened and he was absorbing the depth of his realization. And he thinks, what shall I do next? It occurred to me that the truth I had found was profound, hard to see, hard to understand, peaceful, sublime, beyond the sphere of mere reasoning, subtle, to be understood only by the wise. Should he try to communicate this? And he thinks about it and he says, if I try to teach this, it will be distressing and hurtful to me. And he says, he inclined to the least discomfort, to not teaching the truth. So this is quite remarkable, and Buddhists have always struggled with this. How could someone who is so wise, so compassionate, consider not sharing his teaching? And it's been interpreted in various ways, but I want to try and interpret it sort of psychologically. In the story, what happens is a figure called Brahma, who's basically God, the ancient Indian equivalent of God, appears to the Buddha and says, please teach. Not God in the sense of creator of the world, but God in the sense of the supreme spiritual being of this world. And then the Buddha does teach. But the phrase that he uses, this would be difficult for me. He says, the Pali word is, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it, I'm afraid, vihansansani, which translates as something like bother. It would be a lot of bother to me to teach. Or hassle, I think, might be another word. It would be so much hassle. So at the risk of making the Buddha sound like a stoner, he doesn't really want to get involved in that. Now, I just want to put that together with a little saying that's there in another text. He says, the two commonest thoughts for me are the welfare of beings and solitude. And it seems pretty clear that the Buddha really liked being on his own. He just liked solitude. He felt most at ease when he was deeply absorbed in meditation. And yet, there was this other thought, the welfare of beings. So, when we have a phrase like this, the two most common thoughts, we have a non-psychological language about the mind. He's not saying, well, there's one part of me that really wants to teach at the Buddhist center. There's one part of me that really wants to be on retreat. It doesn't have that language of two parts of me. He has this language of, there are two thoughts that come into my mind. The welfare of beings and solitude. And very often we see there are stories where the Buddha is engaging with other people. He really wants to engage with other people. But it gets to a point where he thinks, no, I am not going to give up who I am. I'm not going to get too involved in the problems that they're involving me in. There's one little phrase which I really like, a little quote. It says, when I'm travelling along a road and see no one in front of me or behind me, then I feel at ease, even when I'm urinating or defecating. Sorry, sense. And there's a story that sort of evokes this very well. The Buddha is surrounded by all of the paraphernalia of a developed Buddhist community. There are nuns, there are monks, there are lay people, there are kings coming to visit, and there's lots and lots of kerfuffle. And in some versions, the episode I'm going to tell you about comes immediately after a dispute in the Sangha, where there are two groups of monks who are at daggers drawn with each other. They've fallen out over a bit of minutiae about monastic discipline. And the Buddha comes and says, look, you've got to be in harmony with each other. And they say, you keep out of this. And they keep on arguing. And eventually, so there are two versions of the story. One, he's just surrounded by busyness. The other, he's involved with a dispute. And in both cases, he just walks off into the forest. Just walks off, And in one version of the story, what is he walks off into the forest and sits meditating beneath a beautiful spreading fig tree. Meanwhile, an elephant, a bull elephant, has been in a similar position. Every time he wants to have a bath, he finds that the she-elephants have muddied the water with having a bath before it. He's not happy about this. And every time he wants to eat a bit of bark, he finds that the young elephants have already eaten it. So he's surrounded by family life, and again, he just walks off. I'm not recommending this to anyone. He walks off, and they sit there, the Buddha and the bull elephant, two grumpy old men, in the forest together, and the bull elephant feeds him water from his trunk. So this lovely little story, you may not like the story, but I do. And it's evoking a certain kind of person. So the Buddha, he just sometimes just walks off and goes on retreat. He walks off into the forest, and Ananda says he sometimes goes off for months on end. He doesn't want anyone with him, not even an attendant.